Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Larry Matsuwaki.
If you've been with us for a while, you've noticed in the church that from last year, we've been going through kind of like a series of Genesis. And maybe you've approached it this way. It's like, oh man, Genesis again. But I'm hoping that in the process of going through the book of Genesis, you have come away with, wow, nuggets and truth that you've never seen before. And so you've grown to love Genesis. How many of you have grown to love Genesis so far? Okay, that was weak. Okay, anyway. Okay, let me go on. Okay, so the last couple of weeks, we've been going through Genesis 12. Okay, just to highlight again, I call it the building of Abraham. In verse 1, he said, go from your country. The Lord was building faith within him. And then in verse 2, he says, I'll make you great. It was inspiring with the vision. And then he says in verse 3, I will bless you and make your name great. It was talking about an anointing that he would walk in. And then in verse 4, he says that, so Abraham went, and it was talking about obedience. And so as we've seen the process of building Abraham, the Lord was inspiring him with vision, with faith. He was inspiring him with a greater anointing that I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And so with all that inspiration, Abraham went. He took the step of faith. But in that journey, it's so amazing, which happens to many of us. We read a couple weeks ago in verse 6, Abraham passed through Canaan, which was the promised land, the land where God told him, this is what I'm going to give to you. But they were Canaanites in the land, and so that was a problem. Abraham's probably wondering, hey, God, I thought you said this is the promised land. You know, I have all this vision and faith and all of this anointing, but there's people here. So maybe I didn't hear you right, God. So what did he do in verse 7? God spoke, I will give this land. So he builds an altar, right? And so God promises him again. But what did he do in verse 8? He moved to the hill country and pitched a tent and built an altar and called out to God. It was almost like Abraham's way of saying, okay, God, I need another confirmation. Come on, if this is really the land, surely, you know, it would be open. There would be no enemies in the land. You know, I need some more confirmation. And so he went inward instead of forward. You got to understand, he went to pray. And there's a season for prayer, but he went to pray when he should have stepped forward in faith. And what happened was he journeyed on, still going to the Negev, and now there was famine. So now the problem escalated two times. Not only is there Canaanites, enemies in the land, now there's famine, and it's not just a famine, it's a severe famine. And so we come to verse 10, Abraham went down to Egypt, which is talking usually, and we mentioned Egypt, it's talking about the world's wisdom, the world's ways. And we see Abraham walking into a journey of his faith, learning to trust, learning to develop a relationship with the Lord. If you look at his journey, he went from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to the promised land and passed through all the way to Egypt. This is a journey of God taking a man that was an idol worshiper, a man that basically had no faith when he first started, and God called him out. Said, I'm going to anoint you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to use you, and all of these things. And this is the man that God is going to develop to be a father of many nations. This is the man that God says, you're going to be the father of faith. He's telling him that he's going to be a friend of God. Can you imagine that? God even called him his friend. And this is a man that God was developing from an idol worshiper and taking out all that traditional past. And he's saying, now, Abraham, you got all this baggage. Now I'm going to take you into a process and a journey to come to be the father of faith. And as I was reading these verses of scripture, the Lord began to speak to me these words over and over and over, which didn't make sense. And I had to pray through it because I had to fully understand it. And the Lord began to speak to me, this message is for all of us. And it's called a divine romance. And maybe you're here, you're thinking, what? How can the story of Abraham be a divine romance? Well, you're going to understand from this story today, from verses 10 to 20, you're going to see Abraham's journey of how God lovingly brought Abraham closer in a relationship. And this is the place where God wants all of us. It isn't amazing about God is that God takes ordinary people and he puts them in scripture and he shows us a process of how he grows and develops them purposely so that we can put ourselves in those places of those people and say, whoa, if God can do that with Abraham, surely he can do that with me. God wants to develop here men and women of faith. Men and women that will be called God's friend. Men and women that will be doing great and mighty things for God. I never dreamed that I would be standing here. I never dreamed that I could be doing this. I was a shy person from a small little island on Kauai that was a country island. And then my dad, if you know him, all he does is fish all day. No, he doesn't. He preaches too. But anyway, you know, it was like, God, you know, the moment I received Christ, the Lord started developing me and developing me and developing me to the point where I'm able to stand here today. It's only by his grace that I'm saved. And I want to encourage us, that's the relationship that God has for all of us. So let's look at verse 10 in Genesis 12. It says, now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. Sojourn, it's talking about, you know, how it was a temporary move, you know, because of the famine. He thought, oh, yeah, common sense, go to Egypt where there's the Nile River, where there's provision. So I'll just go there for a little while. So it mentions famine twice. It's interesting, for the famine was severe in the land. So I believe that God allowed this famine. Think about this. If God said, Abram, this is your promised land, but then there's Canaanites, but then there's famine, and then not just a normal famine, a severe famine. How many of you know, when you read scripture, right, you read about the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, manna was from heaven, and God supplied ravens, you know, for Elijah, and he fed him. God can do supernatural things in a time of famine. So God could have supernaturally even allowed that famine to teach Abraham to totally trust in him. He was going to do something amazing. But what did Abraham do? He ran away to Egypt. Use common sense. So famine teaches us desperation. Maybe you're in a famine situation now in your workplace or finances. I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest place to be because you're desperate. And it's in those desperate situations you're crying unto God, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Maybe it's a sickness and you're crying to God and boom, God starts revealing himself in power. And it's so exciting. It's the most exciting place to be. But why does God allow that? Because he wants to build and work in our area of trust. It's all about relationship with God. And when we boil it down, you know, to trust, it's like, who are we trusting in? Are we trusting in man's wisdom or are we trusting in God's wisdom? And this is the area that God is always bringing us into that test. Are you going to trust me or trust the world's way? Trust man's way. Isaiah 31, verse 1, it talks about going down to Egypt. And it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt. Woe means great sorrow or distress. And it says, for help and rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many and the horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. What is it about us that we're so prone, we're so quick to go back to our human reasoning or how we've done it before? Think of Abraham. That's the way he thought. Idol worship, traditional past, all of that. Famine, oh, well, I guess I just go to Egypt. You know, that's what I always do, just look for the natural provision. When God is saying, no, the promised land. God was developing something in him. Now, let's go back to that example of Abraham in his journey. Let's apply it to our work, in our situation. So, Abraham, God brought him to the promised land, but there's Canaanites. God blesses you with a job, but the first thing, you face criticism from your boss. You know, and all of a sudden you're questioning, oh, maybe this is not the right job. Oh, I don't know if this is the right place. And then what happens? God speaks to you and reminds you, I'm going to give you power to be my witness. No, I am with you. I'm for you. Come on, you know, this is the place for you. And God reminds you of that. But instead of witnessing, you just pray for them and you internalize it. And you say, oh, Lord, you know, take 1 year. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them. And then what happens? Then we face more stress. The goals, things pile up, more criticism. And then we start losing focus and we start saying, oh, maybe this is not the job that God has for me. Oh, things are not turning out right, you know. And why is there more problems? If it was God, why am I facing all these problems? And then what happens? We quit. And then we look for greener pasture. Come on. Think of that. It happens all the time in our workplace. Or what about, you know, in our marriage? We can apply the same thing. God has given you the promised land of a spouse. Come on. And then but the first thing, what happens? You get critical. Then you kind of get distant. You fight, get in your first fight. And all of a sudden, you start questioning, you know, oh, maybe this marriage is not the right. Maybe I married the wrong one. You know, all these things go through your mind. But then God speaks to you. He speaks and he says, be fruitful. Reminds you of his word, love, forgive, you know, build unity. And you're reminded of all these promises of the word of God. You know, be fruitful, multiply. And then instead of following the word of God, instead of forgiving and changing yourself and applying the word of God, you internalize and you start praying, Lord, change them. Change them, Lord. If they change, then I'll change. You know, like what? God's saying, no, advance, move forward, forgive. Come on, apply the word of God. And we always internalize and we pray, oh, Lord's not changing them. So I guess maybe they're not the one. And so we start questioning God. And then unresolved conflicts pile up, and then we tend to blow up. And then all of a sudden, the problem escalates even more, and it starts getting, you know, so much havoc there. And then what happens? We stop communicating, and we give up, and we just leave the relationship. Isn't that amazing how it happens all the time in areas of our life? And God is saying, no. What we need to do is we need to apply the word of God. In Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of living water, and he'll bear fruit in season, and its leaf will not wither, and all he does, he prospers. So don't go back to the world's wisdom, the world's way of understanding, your traditional past of, or even your friends of how they're counseling. Ah, yeah, yeah, I just divorced. I'm already, you know, that happened to me. I divorced, you know, look what happened to me. Come on, you know, and how they do that. It's crazy how the world kind of like tries to give you some worldly advice. But delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. And what the word of God's going to do is it's going to help you think right. And it's going to give you divine revelation and understanding in the situation that doesn't make sense in the midst of a problem, in the midst of a famine. It doesn't make sense, but the Lord's going to speak to you all of a sudden, man, to step out of your comfort zone, to begin to step out in faith. I remember in 1997 when the church in Singapore was facing a financial crisis, I went to prayer. I said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to start a building fund and to raise up a security fund for the church? And the Lord specifically told me, no, I want you to start a mission fund, and I want you to give $20,000 to new church plants. And I'm like, what? I rebuked that. I don't know that. That's not God. And I was like, what? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And so as I prayed again, the Lord spoke to that again, and I realized this is the Lord, because the Lord, you know, he sounds like his word, and the word always says give. And so I said, forgive me, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. And so I challenged the church, brought to the leaders. I said, the Lord's speaking to me this. They got an agreement together. And we all by faith moved forward. We said, in 6 months, we're going to raise $20,000. And at that time, our church was only maybe 60, 70 people. It wasn't very many people. And so that was a lot of money for us. And so by faith, in 6 months, we raised $20,000 to help our new church plants. And then after 6 months, the Lord said, okay, now start your building fund. And then when we did that by faith, in 6 months, we raised $40,000 for the building fund. It was amazing. It was amazing what God showed us, that in the midst of a financial crisis, the thing that didn't make sense was to give. But how many of you know that when we follow the ways and the plans of the Lord, God blesses and he multiplies? Come on, there's no famine with God. Amen. And so that's why in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love this picture of just a little child reaching out and just trusting. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding and all your ways. Acknowledge him. He's going to make your path straight. Things are not going to make sense all the time. What is it? What do you mean? You know, I have to change. I have to forgive. It doesn't make sense. I remember praying for this guy in China that had so much anger for his dad. And I said, I know maybe the situation with your dad was so terrible. But the Lord is saying in his word, we need to forgive. And it just starts by saying it over and over and over to the point. You know, I asked him to keep saying it to the point he was able to do it. You know, and the Lord is in that process. As we apply the word of God, the Lord begins to change and move and begins to heal. So as we use the word of God, what happens is he changes our situation and we begin to trust him even more. Now let's go back to the story in Genesis 12, verse 11 to 13. It says, when he was about to enter Egypt, talking about Abraham, right? So he said to to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a beautiful woman, beautiful in appearance. You know, I know that, you know, I can relate because my wife's beautiful too. Okay, anyway, but and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Oh. Okay, I know some of you women are saying, what in the world? Who is this guy? This is the father of faith. I want nothing to do with him, you know? I mean, when you were talking about this, Pastor Arnie says, no wonder it took Abraham and Sarah to have Isaac so long, because after this experience, Sarah probably says, I'm not sleeping with you, you know? So anyway, look at this. You know, how many times it says, kill me, with me, my life. Abraham had some issues. You know, I know at this time he's called Abram, but, you know, he had some issues. There was a lot of things. It's all about me. There was nothing in these verses about Sarah. It was like, you know, I'm concerned for you, you know, do this, you know, we'll take care. No, it was all about, hey, say this for me, you know, so that I don't get killed and it's everything about me. I mean, it was revealing something that Abram had some fear. And think about this, the building of a father of faith, he had some issues. And the opposite of faith is fear. The Lord was dealing with some fears in his life. And if you have fear, that builds insecurity. And if you have insecurity, then you're not going to have any peace in your life. And you think about our situations, you know, in our relationship with the Lord. The Lord wants us to walk in peace, but many times we have no peace because of our fears and insecurities. Fear of the future, fear of relationships, fear of all these things, fear of sickness and all of that. So we don't have peace in our life. We're just shaking all the time. So if you look at this peace, as believers, we have to understand the only way to walk in peace is to walk in the truth of the Word of God. When God says something, it's going to happen. And we hold on to that. And we have peace knowing that he's in control. Many times, you know, for us as parents, you know, we had to walk in that because our children would be rushed to emergency and we had all these issues, but we had peace. I remember my wife saying, you know, we had complications with our first son, you know, in the womb, and the doctor says there's going to be complications, and my wife says, no, I prayed 9 months for a healthy child. I know he's going to be healthy, and we were like, thank you, Lord. You know, you're full of faith. And so we rode on her faith, and thank God he came out healthy and well. But you have to hold on. In those situations, those times, many times your peace is rattled and shaken. In the world, many times our peace is determined by the circumstance. And if everything's going well, you know, health is okay, finance is okay, then we're at peace. But the moment, you know, you lose your job, okay, what's that? Okay, we lose our peace. I love this story of Jesus trying to teach this lesson to his disciples. In Mark 4:35, Jesus says this. He says, let's cross over to the other side. But what happens in the midst of the sea? It says a great storm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. It's like, what? Jesus, you can imagine the disciples, right? They're sitting in the boat. They're just obeying Jesus. Yes, okay, go to the other side. Yes, sir. They're going in the boat. All of a sudden, there's a wave, a storm going on. What? Jesus, you told me to go the other side. Why is there storms going on? I don't understand. Surely, Jesus, if you said go to the other side, it should be calm waters. But think about that. It happens all the time in our life, right? God says, okay, I give you this job. I give you this marriage. And all of a sudden, oh, storm.
What's going on? I thought if I have children, I'm going to be so happy, you know, happy family. Oh, no. All of a sudden, you know, our children, you know, start arguing back and there's so much rebellion. Oh, you know, all this is going on. Storms. And God is saying, he's teaching us something. He's teaching us faith. Look at what happened to the disciples, verse 39 and 40. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the wave, and he said, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus was allowing the storm to happen to teach his disciples faith, to teach them something that they had to deal with their fear issues, to totally trust in God. So if we look and understand that our steps are ordered and directed by the Lord, then we know, and if we fully love God every day, things are going to happen. But if they happen, don't get rattled and shaken and say, oh, I have no peace. I don't know if I'm in God's will. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on. Don't lean on your own understanding. Know that God's working that and allowing you to go through that so your faith is being built and he's taken out the fear so you totally trust. I can go through story after story in my life when I face storms in my life that I had to hold on to the promises of God. And it was in those moments that I understood that God can pull us through. Come on. As a church, man, we're going to pay off that training center, $8 million. In the midst of that, we were just like desperate, Lord, are we going to make the payments? Okay, anyway, that was just me. But no, that was all of us. And what happened? The Lord supernaturally provided. The Lord is amazing. In John 14, 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the Lord gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. He doesn't give us as the world gives. Peace doesn't come through just everything's going okay. No, we can have tremendous peace in the midst of a storm because we know God's in control. I was just thinking about, you know, Calvin and Allery's, how they started the school, I think, 4 years ago. I remember talking to them, and it was like a big, huge step of faith when they started that worship school. But we just went for this banquet. Man, 450 people were there just acknowledging how God was moving and using them to be a blessing to the churches in Singapore. It was a step of faith. But in the midst of that, God blesses. In Genesis 12, it goes on in verse 14. It says, when Abram entered Egypt and the Egyptians saw the woman is very beautiful. Again, I can relate. Okay. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dwelt well with Abraham. You know what's that saying? Is that Pharaoh gave what? Gave sheep. Oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels to Abraham. So it's interesting when you look at these verses, what it's representing. Again, the Egyptians, you know, it's representing the worldly culture. The worldly culture is always looking at the outward success. And just because there's outward success, it doesn't mean that God is fully blessing that. And it builds a false security just because, you know, everything's going well. You have this false security. Well, you know, I guess I'm okay. I don't really need God. But what does it say in Scripture in Proverbs 31:30? Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. God is saying, you know, don't focus on the world that's saying, oh, yeah, if you get your face just right and you get the nice hairdo and the brands and all of that, that means, man, you're going to be successful and then you're going to be promoted and all of that. That's the world saying. But God's saying, no, you need to work on your heart. And when you work on your heart, it's going to develop into an inward and comes out an outward beauty. And God is reminding even of David when he was looking at the king in 1 Samuel 16, 7. It says, but he said to Samuel, don't look on his outward appearance or his height or stature because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is always looking at the heart. Don't get deceived at how the world will try to sway you over to the promotion and the success and the money. Just because you have all that doesn't mean that you're doing well. Don't be deceived of that. Outward success does not necessarily mean God's approval. God takes all of us in his loving way to work at us and to build us and draw us closer. The last part in verse 17 to 20, it says, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, his Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? Here's your wife, take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him that they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. You know, this whole story, it's kind of like, what? It doesn't make sense. Abraham lies about this. And then all of a sudden now, supernaturally, God comes through and he afflicts Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh doesn't take Sarai, Abram's wife, and all of this. Maybe you can read this and say, whoa, you know, maybe I can lie and get away with things, and you know, and then, you know, God will come through for me too. No. I'm here to tell you that this is a picture of God's mercy. And this is bringing Abram through a process of trying to draw him closer to his heart and saying, Abram, come on, I'm with you. I'm for you. I've spoken these promises for you. I'm drawing you closer, closer to me. Learn from these mistakes, Abram, and draw closer. That's why Romans 2:4, it's so powerful. It says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So when you see God's kindness and mercy at work in your life, and he reveals and maybe he protects you in certain situations, you mess up, you made mistakes, but the Lord protected you. Now it's a process of beginning to repent and come back to the Lord's heart and saying, Lord, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for your mercy. I need you so much in my life. And he begins that process again of that divine romance. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace and forgiveness on my own life. Because the Lord has shown me in this process, in this journey that he's taken me on, that he uses ordinary, messed up, broken people. But if we continually say, Lord, I need you, he works at us and works at us, and he grows our faith and he grows us closer to him, and so that we can be a testimony and a witness of his greatness. And if you fully understand this message, you understand that God wants to bring us into a divine romance. He wants to build trust and peace, security in him. He wants us to receive his mercy and his love. And as we do that, we're going to be men and women of great faith. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for two groups of people today. One, for those that maybe you've come here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've fallen away. And the Lord is drawing you back into a great romance. And he's saying he wants you to fill you with his love. He wants to fill you with his forgiveness. And he's calling you back to his heart today. And if that's you, I want to pray for you to receive Jesus in your life. Can you just lift your hand if that's you and lift it to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, that's me. I want to receive Jesus in my life. Yes, thank you, Lord. This room, the parents' room, Lord, I thank you for the hands that are raised. And I, Lord, know that you see every hand. Most of all, you see their heart. And I thank you, Lord, now I pray that you would just fill them with your love and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. If your hand is raised, can you just repeat this prayer after me? Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead for my sins. Come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins. And help me this day to live for you, to serve you, with all of my heart, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you for blessing your people now, Lord God. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your forgiveness. Fill them with your healing. Thank you, Lord, for a greater anointing on their lives, in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for the rest of us that, as I said, the Lord put this word on my heart of a divine romance. And you know, when I thought of a romance, I thought of, you know, those romantic movies of just the highs and lows, your emotions are being twisted, you know, turned all upside down every which way. They're going through different scenarios, running behind a tree and back and forth, you know, all of that. And all those funny pictures was going through my mind. But the Lord is saying, this is what I want for you. And then, oh man, tears began to fill my eyes of saying, thank you, Lord. We can have that relationship with Him. That our Christian life is not just to come every Sunday and just fill a seat and just do our Christian duty. But it can be every day of our life. And we can wake up and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What are you going to say to me today? Oh, Lord, you know, you go out and you see a tree and the leaf, and it's like, oh, Lord, you created that leaf for me. And you're in such a divine romance with the Lord. It's so overwhelming. That's what I want for you. If that's your desire, can you just lift your hands to the Lord? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for placing it on my heart for your people. God, I pray that we would have that divine romance with you. That even as you took Abraham on that journey of faith to work some issues and areas out of his life, God, we pray, do that with us, God. We want to be desperate for you. We want more of you. We want to trust wholly in you, Lord. We want to put all our security in you. Many of us, we're bound by fears and insecurities, fear of man, fear of the future, fear of sickness. But Lord, we want to have total peace knowing that you're in control of our life. God, we want that divine romance that you could use us. That, Lord, we would dare to step out in faith and speak and pray to for others, Lord. That, Lord, as we take that risk, Lord, we're going to learn to hear your voice, and it's going to be so exciting. Do that for your people today. And I thank you today. If we may make mistakes and we mess up, help us to be quick to repent. And, God, we pray for your mercy to fill our lives so that, Lord, we'll be pouring, filled with your love today. So I thank you for a divine romance that you're bringing us into of a greater relationship. Because, Lord God, you're creating us to be men and women of greater faith. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.